This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. Did the Syrian government deliberately murder Marie Colvin, the Sunday Times reporter killed there in 2012? This is Marie speaking to the BBC the day before she was killed, one of the broadcasts that was intercepted by the Syrian government.
Absolutely sickening. There's a small clinic. You can't even really call it a clinic. It's an apartment that has been turned into a clinic. I mean, you have plasma bags hanging from coat hangers. There was just a constant stream of civilians. I watched a little baby die today. Absolutely horrific. The doctor just said, I can't do anything. And his little tummy just kept heaving until he died. There is just shells, rockets, and tank fire pouring into civilian areas of the city. It is just unrelenting.
Well, her family has filed a suit of civil action against the Syrian government, in which they say the evidence provided by a defector suggests that her broadcasts were being monitored in an effort to catch her. I've been talking to the lawyer Scott Gilmore, who's filed the suit, and to Marie's sister, Kat Colvin.
Marie was a really important part of my life. It's been 6 years, but I still miss her every day. Extremely angry at her being taken away from me and the pain caused to my mother, my children. So that was a huge motivating factor. But also when I think about how much my family has suffered and realize that for the Syrian people, there are thousands and thousands of them suffering the same kinds of horrible losses every day.
And Scott, how likely is it that this case is successful?
Well, we're quite confident in the evidence that has been unsealed by the court here in Washington. There's a precedent of holding state sponsors of terrorism like Syria accountable in federal courts. And we think that we're likely to see a judgment come down in the next several months that will include a finding that the Assad regime was responsible for meticulously assassinating Marie Colvin.
I mean, that's the point, isn't it, of the case, that this wasn't something that just happened by accident, that it wasn't something involving crossfire, that it was a deliberate targeting.
That's exactly right. And this has been a six-year investigation to really work through all of those different hypotheses. On balance, over the years, as we began to piece together more and more pieces of evidence, we really started to see that this was, in fact, a deliberately targeted attack on the media center. But what emerged was that it was also not an isolated incident, that, in fact, in August 2011, documents that had been recovered from the Syrian regime show that they, at the highest level, had adopted a policy of launching these military and security operations against anyone tarnishing the image of Syria in the foreign media.
At the highest level, Scott says, Kat, does it go for you to Assad himself? Is that where this ends?
Absolutely. What I would really love to have happen is for him to go to prison for the rest of his life, and I'm very hopeful that this evidence will be used in a criminal trial someday.
Can you envisage yourself, because you started this conversation by saying how personal it was for you and how desperately sad you still are, do you sometimes see yourself in a courtroom with him in it as well?
I have imagined that. That's really one of my main goals. I would love to see that day. And for a monster like Assad to just be able to operate with impunity, as we've just seen recently, when there are no reporters on the ground to give a first-hand account, just shows how critical it is to defend reporters. And, you know, they're risking their lives every day to bring this news out to us.
What do you say to apologists for Assad? And there are some in Britain who say, actually, the right outcome for this war is for him eventually to win, and that actually there are bad things happening on both sides, and he isn't necessarily responsible for these things.
I can't imagine how anyone could hold that opinion, very honestly, particularly with the images coming out of Syria, pattern of using chemical weapons against his own people and targeting journalists and civilians very deliberately.
Scott Gilmore, one issue, I mean, one huge issue, I suppose, overhanging all of this, and that is Russia and the protection of Assad. And that really is going to be a huge hurdle to get over, isn't it?
I think that's been the deciding factor on what has kept him in power and also what's kept him out of reach of international justice. For years, there have been human rights organizations inside Syria and outside. There have been UN bodies. There have been NGOs gathering evidence that shows that the torture, the chemical weapons, the barrel bombing of civilian neighborhoods, the starvation sieges, all of this goes up to the top. The chains of command can be established through proof that would stand up in court. The question is, how can states still achieve a measure of justice overcoming that standstill at the Security Council? And that's really why we have brought this case in a national court in Washington, D.C. I think that's really the only hope for justice that we're going to see is through nations stepping up and filling the void that's been left by that gap in leadership at the Security Council.
Scott Gilmore and Kat Colvin as well. Thank you both very much. And I should just say about Scott Gilmore, he's an international lawyer. He's with the Center for Justice and Accountability, and he's used to doing these cases, but particularly now he's going to be pursuing this case in the Washington court, and their hope eventually, his hope and Kat Colvin's hope eventually, is that the case is taken on by other courts and thus progresses. You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.